Hey, there we are. We're back. It's Thursday, an early edition, but the Big Mac's preview is here. Away days. Come on, let's go.
I get those goosebumps every time you come around, yeah. You ease my mind, you make everything so fine. Worry about those comments, I'm way too numb, yeah. It's way too dumb, yeah. I get those goosebumps every time. I need the Heimlich, throw that to the side, yeah. I get those goosebumps every time, yeah. When you're not around me, throw that to the side, yeah. I get those goosebumps every time, yeah. 713, put a 21, yeah, I'm riding. Why they on me? Why they on me? I'm flying. Sipping low key. I'm sipping low key and flying. I get those goosebumps every time you come around, yeah. You ease my mind, you make everything so fine. Worry about those comments, I'm way too numb, yeah. It's way too dumb, yeah. I get those goosebumps every time. I need the Heimlich, throw that.
Good evening, everyone. Here we go, we're back again. Welcome to Loaded Mag NUFC Away Days, the big match preview. And yes, slightly earlier time tonight, but look, we're here to talk all things Newcastle United and Spurs in there. Our guest is just about popped into the green room, so we'll bring him in just a second, just on the button on time. But I've got the main man with me, Daz. How you doing, fella?
Chris, oh, he's normally the main man, isn't he?
You both are.
Yeah, I'm good. I'm all good. Pete, with me. I'm gonna send a message to Jimmy because he's asked me to do it. It's his birthday, so a big shout out to Jimmy Moore. It's his birthday today. I'll get a picture of him later on and stick it on as well. But shout out to Jimmy. Have a great day with the family and enjoy your birthday, Jimmy. But welcome to all the chatters as well. Make sure you smash that like button on your way in as well, and looking forward to talk to Tobes about all things Spurs.
Definitely. And look, just before we get Tobes in, we've got to mention it because it's sort of the breaking news from a Newcastle perspective this afternoon. And he's here to stay. Joe Linton officially signed a 4-year contract this afternoon. And he is staying at Newcastle United. Is it loaded? No, he would be. We were never really convinced of him going elsewhere, despite the speculation. But it's great to see that he signed himself down to 4 more years at Newcastle United. Daz, what's your thoughts, mate?
Oh, absolutely delighted that with Joe Linton for 4 more years. And they'll have to make a film about him someday because his story, he came to Newcastle as a striker and like before Eddie Howe, he was looking like he was potentially on his way out. But yeah, the redemption arc there of Joe Linton and switching to midfield and becoming a midfielder, a powerhouse in midfield, and someone we really miss for the last couple of months, I guess. And looking forward to getting him back probably next season, the start of next season, unless he comes back before that.
Well, fingers crossed. There were little rumours that and little things he said in his video that he was back on grass and that he'll be back soon. So fingers crossed. I don't think it'll be this weekend, but hopefully before the end of the season. Yeah, I know. Could have done with him. But no, massive news that he's staying at the club. Such an important player. And like you said, his career at Newcastle and the way it's gone, you couldn't be any more happier for him. But great to see so many in the chat, loads of people putting in their love for Joe Linton. Keep that coming and get your questions in for our guest that we're going to bring in now. Tottenham fan, big game Saturday. Let's get him in. Let's get in Tobes from Tapping Tobes YouTube channel. How you doing, Tobes?
I'm good, man. It's good to be here. It's good to be. I think I've been here before, Dave. I can't remember. Oh, sorry, Pete. Why am I calling you Dave?
I did it for 6 months as myself as well.
Yeah,
you know what? That's why.
I've never called Pete Dave before in my life, and I've known Pete for a couple of years now, so I don't actually know what's happened there. But yeah, it's been a while since I've been on the channel. You know, I think the last time. I was on the channel, we were talking about Dele. It was me and Sai from New Spurs Order, and I can't remember what the score was for that game, but we were talking about Dele.
Yeah,
that's years ago. You lot were mudded back then. Yeah. Mudded.
That's what I was going to say. When you said, "Oh, I don't even know what the score was," I was thinking, we probably would have lost anyway that way back then. Like we were nowhere near the team that we were.
Bruce Ball.
Exactly. Yeah, probably was or close to the end of Bruce Ball. But no, look, appreciate you coming on, man. I know your time's precious. Obviously, you're doing big things with your own channel. Obviously, we're Big Six as well. Your time is stretched, shall we say. But look, let's get into it. Big game on Saturday. But I want to talk about your team just for a second. And look, you guys are fighting for Champions League football. You're right that they're up there in the table. I just want just to get a quick thought on this man, your manager. What has he done to transform your team to be in a position where they didn't get Europe last season to in a position where you're in the top four, you're fighting right in there and kind of like odds on to get Champions League football? What has he done to change things around at Spurs?
So he's done a couple of things, really, man. So I think the main thing he's done there's many things. So the first thing he's done, in my opinion, is he's brought in a completely different style of play to the managers that we've had in the past, right? Mm. So I think he's probably the most front-footed or offensive manager that we've had since Pochettino, because there was this whole cliche of Spurs DNA. I hate it. I think it makes me cringe when I hear people say Spurs DNA. But I can understand why people say it, because although I hate the cringiness of that term, you associate Tottenham sides with teams who like to attack, who like to score goals, who like to play with the ball. The emphasis is on what we do with the ball instead of what we do without it. And I think the managers that we've had in years gone by, as of late over the last couple of years, have prioritised what we do off the ball instead of more so than what we do on the ball. So I think that's the first thing he's brought. He's brought in a style of play that's more akin to what people traditionally associate Tottenham with, which is good. And he's brought a style of play that probably suits a lot of the players that we had in our team, which is the second point. Because last season, we were terrible. We were absolutely terrible. But we were not the eighth best team in the league in terms of our squad quality. Our squad quality should have had us punching higher, in my opinion. Now, that's not to say that all of our squad was good. We definitely had some players that needed to be moved on. But at the heart of it, there were some good players that most Spurs fans acknowledged were either good or good and going through a bad spell, or just weren't being played at all, right? Mm. And that's something which he's managed to do this season. So you've seen guys like even Richarlison, who was ruled out last year, people counted him out double figures this season. You've seen Pedro Porro, new lease of life under Ange Postecoglou. I know Basuma's form hasn't been the same in 2024, but you've seen him play a much more significant role in our team this season than he did last year. You've seen Romero get back to his best under Ange Postecoglou. You've seen Son get back to his best. So there were a lot of players that a lot of people had counted out that he's sort of rejuvenated because of his arrival and his style of play. And then the third thing is, I think he's been able to sort of blend every single new signing we've had into the team well. Vicario is coming, slotted in he's slotted in like he's been here for years. Van de Ven, been fantastic. Mm-hmm. Destiny, who obviously we signed last year, he's been integrated perfectly into the team this season. So we've had some successes. Of course, we've had some signings that haven't been that great, like Brennan Johnson. But even Brennan Johnson, he's rediscovering form under Ange Postecoglou. So I think across the board, he's really just changed the entire outlook of Tottenham. And people will say, some people will look at that and say, oh no, you're being dramatic, Spurs are only fourth. I get it, we are fourth, but the reason why I say that is because of what we've had to go through. We've sold Harry Kane, right? Yeah. We sold Harry Kane. We're playing a completely different style of play to what we've played over the last 4 or 5 years, and we've gone through heavy upheaval in our team. We sold so many players in the summer, and we've had to basically integrate so many new players into the team. If I look off the starting 11 alone, you got Madison, Vicario, Destiny, Van de Ven, right now Brennan Johnson and Werner. That's six players I've named now who are now in our starting 11 over the last couple of weeks. So we've had to go through a lot of change, and for him to basically manage that change, introduce a style of play, get new signings off the ground and have Spurs in pole position for top four now, you have to give him credit, man. You really do.
Yeah. Look, the managers of the months over the course of this season are kind of proving that the change that he's made. But Daz, I'll come to you from a Newcastle perspective. You know, what have you made of sort of Tottenham's rise this season? Obviously, Tobes has talked about Ange Postecoglou as their manager and what he's done. But what have you noticed about their team? Did you expect it even?
If you look back at our predictions at the start of the season, I had Spurs well down the league. I had them down near 10th kind of position or something like that, which is crazy. I know I wrote them off. Sorry, Tobes. But I have been absolutely gobsmacked by Ange. I just thought as well, he's coming into the Premier League. He's not going to last long. Was he first choice, second choice? I don't know. But no, he's really, really surprised me. And yes, some of their players are playing outstanding. Udogie, Van der Ven, I like him as well. I picked the players that I wouldn't mind us having. I know Betancourt is kind of come back from injury. He's someone I'd like us to look at as well. If you happen to be selling him, I wouldn't mind him coming to Newcastle. But not happening. But no, I'd be really impressed by Spurs, and I think they go on and they get fourth spot now. I think Villa will drop away. Fair play. Can't say anything more than that. They deserve it. And Matters as well, sorry to bring it up, Pete.
You should have signed him. You should have signed him.
Yeah, we could have paid the wages.
I still don't forgive Dan Ashworth for not making that deal happen in the summer. Mm. We talked about it on our channel for what, a year before that, at least 9-10 months about that guy. Look, how good is he? Like, I know how good he is. I'm sure you know how good he is now, but just tell everyone else, like, how good is he?
He's brilliant, man. He's brilliant. And the thing is, he's come under a bit of scrutiny recently, because since he's come back from injury, his form hasn't been as like impactful as it was before his injury, right? So that's not to say that he's played bad, but he has had some bad games. He's had a lot more average games than we would have liked, and he's had some good games, but we need to have majority of good games and small average games and small bad games. So he needs to increase his level that he's shown in recent weeks. But he's been a fantastic signing for Tottenham. 45 million for 20 at the time, a 26-year-old James Maddison, right, coming off probably one of his best seasons. A lot of people just wrote him off because Leicester got relegated. And I'm like, just use your eyes. Like, the team has been relegated. One man isn't the whole team. If you look at the majority of his performances this season, he's playing out of his skin most weeks, and they're still not winning games. And when you look at what he adds to our team, he's so creative. He scores goals. Set pieces, he's a threat as well. And just his skill and panache, like, that's the first pure playmaker that we've had in our team since Maddison. We've not had a playmaker since Eriksen, sorry. We've not had a playmaker in the team since Eriksen. And I would even go as far to say that what Eriksen had in terms of like maybe a bit more goals and stuff, right? Maybe a bit more GNA. James Maddison makes up for the panache. Like, he can just take 2-3 players out of the game with a dribble, take the ball in a half turn, open up a game of football, and he's so incisive in the final third. And like, you just have to watch him when he's been at his best for Tottenham this season to know the type of player that he is, man. He's brilliant.
Pete knows where I go next, because you speak about panache, but how about the punch? Jimmy asked the question. Sorry, Tobes, but do you think Maddison should be playing this weekend after the punch or the panache?
He shouldn't. He should be suspended. I'll be real. Like, I'm not one of these Spurs fans who lies. Like, he should be suspended. He got lucky there. That was very, very stupid from Maddison, man. And that's something that you don't really want to see, right? We need you to get back to your best with you on the pitch playing games, not you punching people in the stomach and getting yourself basically ruled out for three matches. So we got lucky there.
Yeah. I'll be honest, I can't believe it. I think I put it in our chat, Daz, and I put it in the 12th man chat. I could not believe it when it happened. Like, how was VAR not spotted that?
Yeah,
like, it's crazy.
Yeah. We've had players sent off for less. I remember Son, we played a game against Chelsea a couple of years ago. They beat us 2-0 out of ground, and Son got sent off around the 62nd minute, and he was getting into an argument with Rudiger. So Rudiger's challenged him. And then Son, whilst he's laid down on the ground, he's sort of kicked out, but he's barely touched Rudiger, and he got sent off. James Maddison made way more contact with Yates. But if there is something I'd like to say with that, Yates gets away with murder every week, man. I can't stand it. Gets away with murder every week, just goes around kicking people, fouling people. He should have been sent off against us. So.
Yes, I agree. Yeah.
He's a very, very dirty player. So whilst I do think James Maddison should have been sent off, if there was any player that happened to, I'm happy it was him.
Go on, Daz. Because I know you had the same opinion on Yates as well, didn't you? You'd mentioned
it. Look, we also got a... I really don't like Yates. It always annoys me anytime we play them as well. But we also got away with one with that, and you won't mind this, Tobes, with the Bruno and Jorginho when we played Arsenal. So can't really complain too much. There was a bit of a punch thrown in there as well. Yeah.
I still don't think it was a I don't think it was a good that personally, but of course you did. And I went to my grave with that with Potts as well, and he weren't happy about it. and Gruna Lee was kicking off about it. I was like, no, not a chance, never. To be fair, it swings around about to be fair. Mm. But look, Tobes, I want to get your opinion on Newcastle United. Last season, finished fourth, Champions League football.
Yeah.
Of course, we've not had the season that we wanted, but we're still in eighth place. We're still in the position to fight for Europe. We still are. We're only a point behind West Ham, 2 points behind Man United, and we're still in that conversation. You know, what have you made in Newcastle United this season, and what do you project to see from Newcastle United next season and beyond?
This season, what have I made? I think it's been a regression. It's been a regression, and it's been an expected regression, because that's what typically happens when a team overachieves and puts themselves in a position that their natural growth can't keep up with. I think these things happen, right? So what I mean by that is obviously Newcastle far exceeded expectations last season. Last season, I had Newcastle at the start of last season. I predicted Newcastle to finish seventh and you guys finished fourth, right? Obviously, we were one of the teams that missed out. Chelsea missed out. I can't remember who else missed out. Liverpool missed out. So, obviously, you get Champions League football. And I think with Champions League football, it's a lot, man. And anyone who saw your team last year, even when you were flying, is you had a small squad. You had a small squad. And even with the team that you had that was performing well, that wasn't a team that was Champions League ready. So, Eddie Howe and your players were literally squeezing out every single drop of quality. I mean, someone, case in point is Almiron. Like, there was no way on earth that Miguel Almiron was going to be able to replicate what he replicated last season, because he just isn't that type of player. He just doesn't really have that type of quality, right? And I think in the summer, I'll be real, I don't think your business was good enough. I think you signed some players that made sense. So Lewis Hall, I thought that was a good signing. I don't really see why he's not played enough games. I thought Livramento was a really good signing, because he can play both sides. So these are the type of signings that you make, where a player like Trippier could be injured, or a player like what's his name, the tall guy in your team,
Dan Burn.
Sorry, I don't know why I forgot his name, but like, Dan Burn and Trippier could be injured, and those guys could slot in really and truly. And Lewis Hall's not even a fullback; he's a midfielder, right? But he's played a bunch of positions. So those type of signings, they're good signings. But Me personally, I felt you needed another centre back. You didn't do it. I felt that zone, that zone, like just outside the box, and beyond the middle circle, getting a player to dominate that zone, like a James Maddison type playmaker. I thought that was absolutely key for Newcastle. They didn't get it. And I thought you were quite unlucky with Harvey Barnes, because I thought that was a really good signing. But obviously, he's had a lot of injuries. So I think your signings, in some respects, were good. But in other respects, they weren't good enough. And when you're playing Champions League football and you're feeling that rigor of playing Sunday, Wednesday, Saturday, Tuesday, Sunday, it's a lot. It's a lot. So I say this to say that I expected Newcastle to dip down the table this season. I actually predicted you guys to finish seventh. But I must say, I don't know what type of judge or witchcraft or blood ritual someone's done on Newcastle. I don't know what they're cooking up in your medical camp behind the scenes. But some of the injuries have been absolutely insane, man. Insane. And the thing is, we've had insane injuries this season. So when I say we, I mean Tottenham have had it. We've had crazy injuries this season. Liverpool have had it. Man United are still having it. So many teams had it. Luton have had it. There have been so many teams in the Prem that have had crazy injuries. But Newcastle, by far and away, in my opinion, are the worst, because it's like, it's mental. All your players have to do is breathe and they're injured. And I'm just like, yo. Like, I get that Eddie Howe, obviously there have been questions asked of Eddie Howe, and I think there have been games that he could have managed better. The substitutions could have been better. The approach could have been better. But I also think you've got to take it with a pinch of salt. Like, he's had to deal with a crazy amount of injuries to an already jam-packed schedule. So, yeah, man, it's been dodgy for you lot. As for next season, sorry for the rambling. As for next season, what do I expect? To be honest, I don't know. It depends. I want to see what the scenario is for the FFP. And I think they're changing. I think there's going to be a review, right? There's going to be a review of the profit and sustainability. Yeah, exactly. So I need to see.
Tap of there to read it.
I'll just put it on the screen, because that's just a little snapshot of what they've said. So under the UEFA rules, clubs can spend no more than 70% of the revenue, squad costs, all the rest of that. June's vote club will decide whether they would prefer a similar model. Instead, it's thought around the 85% limit is more likely with the Premier League. So it means that there's more of the revenue that they're allowed to spend. So it would allow clubs to spend a little bit more money. But obviously, those clubs that are fighting for Europe, which we are, you are as well, we're still going to have to fit into that remit, as it says on there, of the 70% model of UEFA. So, you know, for other teams, it will be great because they can spend a little bit more. For the bigger teams, for the top teams, like they're laughing because they can spend even more without it affecting them. So that's kind of
weekend as well, because we our revenue is really high. I think we had like the most revenue of any. I think we had more revenue than Arsenal. I can't even remember, but our revenue is quite high, so it benefits us. But that's the point I was making. So in terms of what I see next season, I feel things like this, they may hamper Newcastle, right? Because it may end up that in order for you to improve your team across three or four areas, you either have to buy players who aren't as good but will cost less, or you may have to end up selling one of your better players to refresh the team in other areas. So I don't know. With Newcastle, it honestly depends on how the summer goes for you, but I wouldn't expect Newcastle to be anywhere lower than eighth next season, in my opinion.
Yeah, I think we're the same. For me, I think we're getting our players back fit. Toon Gamer put in the chat as well. We've not even talked about Tenali with his ban. He'll be back in August too, which is a huge. It's a huge miss, but you know, as you said, we're getting a quality player coming back, and that old phrase that Alan Pardew used to say is like a new signing. It genuinely will be, because we haven't seen him since October, so he will be like a brand new signing coming in the door, and he's a quality player, definitely. But look, what just before we get to the next section, like, I want to get your thoughts on the lineup. I just want to ask you really quickly, like, what's next for Tottenham? Because look, for me, we're going to get 5 Champions League spaces, so you're going to be playing Champions League football next season. And you've just mentioned it. With all the profit and sustainability, you guys are right at the top of the list. I think you were second in revenue, only to Man City. Your revenue is brilliant, right? However, there's always been this history of Daniel Levy not putting his hand in his pocket and going and signing the players that you need to do to make the step up. Now you've got Ange Postecoglou in charge. You've started to build the groundwork with a number of really good players in, and you're becoming a great team, a really exciting, good footballing team to watch again. What is next for you? Is it going to be the same where Daniel Levy just kind of keeps his hand away from his pocket, signs just enough to tick along, or is he going to go, right, here's the money to really have a go at it? What are you thinking right now?
I think it's going to be a bit of both. I think you're going to see a middle ground, which is what I don't like. I think we should be seeing just push the boat out now, but I think you're going to see a middle ground. I think you're going to see Spurs push the boat out within reason for the right player. So what I mean by that is, I don't think you're going to see Spurs go out and spend £80 million on a 28-year-old player. But I think you will see Tottenham go out and spend maybe 40, 45, maybe even £50 million on a 23-year-old that can improve our team. I think we've proven over the last couple of years that we're willing to spend that kind of money on a player that we can see a long-term future with. But like you said, Daniel Levy is Daniel Levy. We could be making £1 billion in revenue and there will still be that sort of risk averse, not deviating from a model, from a financial model that makes sure that we're in the green, et cetera, et cetera. So I am a bit worried and apprehensive that we won't get all the players we need. But in terms of what I want from us next season, we need to be closing the gap on the top three. As of match day 31, right now, we're 10 points behind Man City, personally. And I don't see this gap. I don't see this gap closing significantly. I feel like, if anything, it might increase over the next couple of weeks. So I want us to close that gap. Now, that doesn't mean, oh, yeah, we're going to challenge for the title. That means literally what it says, close the gap for the top three, right? And make a better fist of all the cup competitions we're in next season. I want to see us try and go deep in the FA Cup. I want to see us try and go deep in the League Cup. I want to see us try and go deep in the Champions League. Try and make the quarters or semis. Maybe not semis, but quarters. Try and make the quarters, right? That for me is what I want to see next year. Next year, we absolutely need to be looking to break this trophy hoodoo, because it sickens me now. Like, I'm not even one of these guys who feel like Tottenham have a divine right to win, but like, the amount of times over the last couple of years where we've come close to winning anything and we've not won anything, it's enough, man. It's enough. So that's the aim for me next season. Whether we'll get the players that we need to, that's up to Daniel Levy. I think you're going to see, in some cases we will. I think you're going to see, in some cases, we're going to do a half-assed option, as you see now with the likes of Werner and so on and so forth. So, yeah.
Now, it's interesting you say that, because I know you had a bit of back and forth last season with Lawless with regards to the Conference League and not seeing is that trophy. Like, me personally, I think Daz is the same, or has grown to be the same, maybe.
Yeah.
Is that this season we would snap their hand off because we could think we could win it. Now, are you of that mindset now? Have you changed your mindset on it now that West Ham have won it, Villa probably looking to win it? Would you take a trophy like that just to say that you've got a trophy in the cabinet and it's on the mantle?
If my team's in it, then yeah, of course, right? What I'm saying is, before a ball is kicked, I don't really want to be playing Europa Conference League football, because if my team's playing Europa Conference League football, it means we've not achieved what we want to achieve in the league, right? And that's the point I was making to Lawless. I don't rate it as a competition. I don't. I really don't. And if I had it my way and I had the choice of Spurs finishing 4th, 5th, 6th, 7th, I'm never going to pick 7th. Never. It's never going to happen. However, if your team's in it, absolutely you should go ahead and try and win it. And I'm of the same school of thought, because I, as a Spurs fan, I've experienced it all too many times where we've been in the Europa League or even in the Europa Conference League that time, and we don't take it seriously. I mean, the Europa Conference League, at that point in time, I didn't really care that much, right? Conte had just come in, COVID had happened, we weren't allowed to play our third game because of COVID, so Ren got a bye, and as a result, we finished third in the group, so shit happens. I can understand that. It's not that deep. We ended up getting top four, whatever. Cool. But really and truly, any cup competition, if Tottenham are in it, I absolutely want them to win it. And I think Newcastle should be the same if you're in it next season.
Yeah, definitely. No, I think that's fair. Go on, Daz. Oh, I think you're on mute. What's that? Yeah, can't hear. Now, I think Daz was going to, he's just going to come back and come back on. How long we got you for? How long we got you for?
I thought you wanted me for like an hour, didn't you?
Yeah. Because what we're going to do is go through the tactics, Bobby. Because I want you to pick your 11, your Spurs squad, and then I'll get Daz to pick ours, and we'll kind of critique it a little bit, and then we'll get some questions in, because there's loads of questions in the chat, and then we'll get those all important predictions to nail us off. So that's what we're going to say. Sorry, you're back.
Sorry, I accidentally hit the mic, so that's why I knocked it off rather than the other button. But I was going to say that I remember watching the Tobes and Lawless go at it on 12th Man. And I at the time, I was aligning with Tobes on the Mickey Mouse competition. But now I've come around to your way of thinking, Pete. I've said this before, that because it's been so long since we won a trophy, if we get in it, why not go for it and try and win something and just build on that. Like we did overachieve last year and got into the Champions League. All I wanted was Champions League. I was saying, no, I don't want to win a conference or whatever at that stage, because we were so close to getting Champions League. We've been there, we've done that. We know we're not at that level yet. So let's build on top of that. So if we get into the conference, grab it with both hands and go for it. And speaking of Lawless, are they going to get knocked out tonight? Or maybe it's the first leg tonight against Leverkusen. So
maybe.
Yeah.
Probably. More than likely.
West Ham, they do have a knack, though. I think Lawless talked about it before when they were playing like Seville, for example. And everyone thought they were going to get knocked out. They ended up knocking them out, beat Fiorentina in the final. So they have got that knack of beating teams when they're expected to lose. And to be fair, Mikel Antonio on his podcast mentioned something similar the other day. So I'm not holding too much hope at this point that Leverkusen will wipe the floor of them, but. Again, it wouldn't surprise me because they've got quality players, so it should be a good game. And they've got no Bowen apparently tonight, so he's normally their main guy. But look, we'll get into the tactics board, because I want to get your boys' thoughts on the tactics board here. So we've got the Spurs squad out; it's here, and Tobes, I want you to pick your 11, your formation, set your team out. And I'll obviously move it around on the screen. So I'm assuming you're going to go Vicario in goal.
I was on mute. Sorry, I didn't realise I was on mute. Yeah, Vicario in goal. Yeah.
Yeah. One of the goalkeepers of the season, surely. Top goalkeeper of the season?
Yeah. I think so, yeah. I think he's been on performances, I think he's been the best goalkeeper in the league this season. Obviously, that doesn't mean he is the best, but on performances, I think he's been one of the best, and I think he's been one of the best signings as well. We signed him for £17 million. Been one of the best signings of the season, in my opinion. So, yeah.
He surprised me. I'm not going to lie. He's really surprised me. When I first saw him, I just thought he looked a little bit like unsure. He looked a little bit like, to be fair, he looked a little bit like how David De Gea came in. He looked just a little bit ropey, and then very, very quickly just switched it up, and he's been superb since. But back four, talk me through back four, mate.
Back four will remain as is. Pedro Porro at right back. I think he's been one of the best right backs in the league this season. I do think his form has dipped somewhat over the last, I'd say, a couple of weeks. I think his form has definitely dipped. Even I say this, he scored, obviously, the last game we had, but I think his general performance, his defending, his passing, I don't think it's been as good as it was in the first 5 or 6 months of the season. But he's been one of our best players this season, and I think he will take his spot to start on the weekend, so we're going to need him. I think the centre-back pairing remains the same. I think that's been one of the best centre-back pairings in the league this season, Romero and Van de Ven. I think Romero gets a lot of hate, gets a lot of criticism. Some of it is partly justified because of the reputation that he's unfortunately unfortunately made for himself, where sometimes he can be a little bit reckless. But he's been fantastic for Spurs this season and doesn't really get his just dues. I think he's been our best defender this season, in my opinion. He's been our best defender this season. And when people talk on Romero, you wouldn't think that's the case, but he's been our best. And I think Mickey van de Ven is just the partner we needed for Romero. A lot of Spurs fans spoke on the need to get Romero a proper partner last season. And as poor as Romero was last season, everyone knew, well, I knew, and I think most of the logical Spurs fans knew that this guy is a fantastic centre-back. He showed it in his first season at Spurs. He just needs, one, he needs to be better in his own individual performances, and two, he needs to have the necessary partner can get the best out of him, and three, he needs to be playing the necessary football to get the best out of him. He wasn't suited to playing this low block, two banks of five football. He needs to be playing riskier football high up the pitch where he can showcase his passing range. And I think he's done that this season. So those two will start. And then, of course, left back, Destiny. I think on form, and I want to hear you, your thoughts both, but I think on form, he's been the best left back in the league this season. What do you think?
Go on, Daz.
I like him. We did a show there during the week, and if the luxury tax was a thing and we could pay it, he was one of my picks. But I know we're never getting him from Spurs. But no, I like him there. Young, up and coming as well. And I also look back on our match reaction, Pete, to the previous game we played Spurs this season. And yeah, we identified him and Son.
He was amazing. Yeah, that game. Wow,
he was class.
Destroyed this, absolutely destroyed this down that side. Yeah, it was horrible to watch. Midfield, I'm not gonna lie, it wasn't pleasant at all. But
welcome to the club. Welcome to the club. How do you think I felt last season? Last season, I didn't even watch the game because my friend was running a marathon, so I wasn't watching the game, but I was also watching the game. I was watching it on my phone, keeping tabs. So I knew we were going to get pasted. I just didn't know it was going to be that severe so early on. And I'm watching it. I've seen the first goal going. I've seen the second goal going. I said, yeah, safe. I'm not watching this anymore. I've turned off my phone. And then I thought that was it. My phone's vibrating. Zun, 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 zun. The third goal goes in. The fourth goal goes in. Honestly, that was like a living hell. And that was me in London watching it from my phone because I sold my ticket that day. There was no way on earth I was going to Newcastle to see that pasting in HD. So I felt sorry for all the Spurs fans who traveled. This season, unfortunately, I can't make it on Saturday, so I ended up selling my ticket anyway, but I'm hoping it's going to be a positive experience, man.
Mm-hmm. Well, yeah, I hope it's a rewind, I'm not going to lie, but we will see. We will see. But look, talk me through your midfield. Who you going for?
This is a tough one, man, because Basuma's not been in good form, as I alluded to earlier on, and he's not been in good form for a while. Like, it's one game he's decent, another game he's poor. One game he's decent, another game he's poor. So I honestly don't know who Ange picks. I think the one player who's guaranteed to start and should be there is Maddison. So he'll play in the 8/10 role. So I think that's the guaranteed one. I think Pape Matasar should start, in my opinion. I know he wasn't at his best against Nottingham Forest, but I think he's obviously Ramadan's finished now, so he's not going to have to fast during the day. So I think he should be raring to go. So I think he should play. And then, to be honest, in normal circumstances, I'd pick Basuma, but because Basuma's not playing that well, I don't know. Is he going to play? Maybe he might play Bentancur or Højbjerg. So I'll just go, you know what? I'll just go with Bentancur. I'll go with Bentancur for now. Okay. Yeah.
Where was it? You know what? I don't even think I put Bentancur in. I'll come back to that in just a second because I need to type him in. So you got Bentancur just next to Saar. I have to say, with Saar, we watched him obviously at St. James's Park last season, he got subbed after like 30 minutes or something, and he was horrendous. I've watched him this season. Like, he looks like a completely different player. I cannot believe how good he's been. Like, is that what the Spurs fans are saying?
Yeah, man, he's class, man. And the thing is, he's a player who, so on the new Spurs, so the new Spurs order pod that I'm a part of on Touchline, we've been campaigning for him to be playing, for him to have been playing games last season. Last season, we had Bissouma injured and Bentancur injured for months. And we kept saying, why isn't Saar playing? Why isn't Saar playing? He's talented. He can do good things. And I actually felt unlucky for him because the times he was given opportunities, he got thrown into the deep end. He got thrown into the deep end against AC Milan. He had a really good game. But then he gets thrown into the deep end, playing in a two-man midfield in a 3-4-3 against Arsenal. And obviously, he's the casualty. He gets subbed off, even though I don't think it was that bad. And then against you, he gets played in a midfield where we're finally experimenting with a four at the back that we've obviously not practiced and whatnot. And we just get obliterated. And it left a nasty impression of Saar for people, but not for me. I knew that guy was a good player in waiting. So I'm just really happy that he's been given his opportunity by Ange and he's taken it. So, yeah.
Good stuff. And look, your forward line, mate. Talk through your forward line.
Son through the middle, for sure. Brennan Johnson on the right because he's the in-form player. If I had it my way, Timo Werner, I don't really want to play him. I really don't. I would, if I had it my way, I would play Richarlison through the middle and Son on the left, because that's what we played the last time against you. But yeah. Knowing yeah. Ange, he's going to pick Werner on the left because Werner's producing GNA and Richarlison's just come back from injury. So just put Werner on the left.
Okay. Now, it's still marked down that Richarlison's injured. So is he going to be back at the weekend then?
He's meant to be back this weekend, yeah. So Ange said last week that he's only going to be out for like a week or so. But even if he was fit, I don't think he'd be starting this game. It would be Son, Johnson and Werner.
Okay. All right. Well, strong team. Strong, that's for sure. But Daz, the Newcastle team, talk us through what you think.
Yeah.
I mean, yeah.
Kind of picks itself in a way, yeah. Because we don't have much to choose from. Okay, well, it's going to be Dubs and goal, Dubravka and goal. It's going to be too early for Trips and Tino, I believe. So it's going to be Kraft in a right back.
Yeah, where was he? There we go.
He hasn't got back to the form he was on before he was injured. He hasn't picked up and missing Trips and Tino is a big loss for us. You can have one of them back. Let's go on the opposite side. Let's go Hall at left back. And let's hope he can.
I know Kraft is starting.
Yeah, yeah. And Kraft is.
Trippier and Tino.
Yes.
He's buzzing already. Look at that team.
Unless this is a surprise, but yeah, that's what I was looking like.
Well,
then you.
This is what I don't know, but carry on, Daz. We'll talk.
Yeah, we've got Shar and Byrne playing centre back, not his usual left back, but he has done well at centre back the last two games. In fairness to him, he's done really well. So that is our defence.
Definitely,
we don't have many options there to switch on that. Then we got Bruno in the kind of number six role, who is that one match now. If he gets through this match, actually, if Bruno gets a yellow card in this game, he might as well get a red. Because if he gets a red, I think he gets one match ban. But if he gets a yellow, he gets a two-match ban, which is very, very strange. So if he gets a yellow, you might see a red. Then do we have to put him in? It's going to be Longstaff and Anderson. Willock isn't going to be fit, I don't think. Is there any word on Willock?
Didn't he play in your last game, Willock?
No, he came off. He came off after about 25 minutes. Maybe not even that. He's done his Achilles again, apparently, for Eddie Howe.
Really?
But nobody put a time scale on it. like he basically said that he felt his Achilles and that it got to the point where he couldn't continue, so he had to come off. For me, he's not ruled him out, and we'll find out tomorrow in his presser whether Willock's out or not completely. People in the chat are saying Willock's out again. It does seem like he's out. I personally thought when he came off, I thought that'd be his season done. Like I didn't think he'd come back, because I just don't think that they would risk his Achilles going again, like completely, because he was out for weeks and weeks last time. So I don't know. But as you said, Tobes, earlier on, like our injury list is it just keeps growing and growing and growing. When we get players back, other players get injured. It's been never ending. But sorry, Daz, go on.
No. Now, here we go up front. I think he's going to go Gordon, Isak, and Murphy. But I would go, Barnes. So I see where you have Gordon. So put him on the right for a second.
Yeah.
Put Barnes on there in the left. That's what I'd go with. But I think he's going to have Barnes on the bench as a kind of impact player. Like, and he's done well every time he's come on as an impact player. But we have to go for it. For me, and at least that's one area of the pitch we can be strong in. Then,
I agree.
That's what I go for.
Yeah, that would be the team that I would go for with the players that are available. The only thing is that I think maybe slightly different, Daz, is what you just said. I think you might well go Murphy, and he might have the fact that what he did against Tottenham at St. James's last season in mind. Because he obviously scored like two like, really good goals, particularly the second one, he's got that pace to really kind of disrupt there, and I just think he'll want to keep at the back of his mind he'll need an impact from somewhere, because like, literally if you look at the rest of these players, Wilson's injured, Almiron's injured. Matt Ritchie, Joe Linton's injured, Miley's injured. You're going through the rest of the squad here. Willock's injured, Tonali's banned, Target's injured, Livramento's injured, Trippier's injured, Lascelles is injured, Botman's injured, Paul Dummett, you want to be injured and he's not.
Yes.
You literally go through the whole team.
Who are you going to have on the bench?
Well,
we'll have Karius, Gillespie, that's two sub keepers. We'll have Dummett. If it turns into a rugby match, we've got Richie. If we want a boxing match, we'll have White, Diallo, and Alex Murphy flying the flag for Ireland. That's about it, really.
Wow. So even Jacob Murphy's injured, yeah?
Oh, sorry. Jacob Murphy would be an option from the bench, right?
Yeah. Okay. He's the one that killed us last season. He destroyed us last season.
Yeah, and that's what we were saying. So this is what we think Eddie Howe will go with, and he'll have Barnes on the bench because he'll want Barnes potentially later on in the game to come on and impact it later on, which is what he did against West Ham. He did it again against Fulham at the weekend. When he came on, we looked so much better. And I just think he might just stick with that. But I'm with Daz. Like, if I'm doing anything else, I'm going Gordon to run it and Doggy on the back. Imagine pace against pace, that right hand side. That'd be a hell of a battle, both in attacking and defensive positions. Barnes against Barnes.
That's going to be. I think our fullbacks need to. Our fullbacks have been quite inconsistent over the last. I would say the last six odd weeks. I think the performances have dropped. There have been some good games in there, but there have been games where they've been quite poor and they struggled. And I think Gordon, from what I've seen of him this season, he's been fantastic. And I feel like he's going to cause us problems, man. I can see him causing us problems for sure. And that big pitch, I can see him causing us problems for sure.
Right, definitely. I put the ball next to the Longstaff just for Yano's benefit, just because he's put on there. Pete, give the fans a real treat and put the ball next to the Longstaff, because we're not going to see it in the game. And he's probably right. Or if we see it in the game, Longstaff may try and pass there and ends up going out here or out there for more kick. But like, maybe I'm being, I think I'm probably being a bit harsh. Hopefully Longstaff comes in and gets the goal that gets us points on the board, but we'll see. But like, look, I'm going to ask you, Tobes, what are your thoughts, just before we move on from here, what are your thoughts about Alexander Isak coming up against your centre-back pairing? Are you worried by it? Are you confident in your centre-back pairing? What do you make of Isak? Talk to me.
He's a baller, man. He's a baller. If memory serves me right, he played against us in the 4-1 game this season, didn't he? I think he missed a big chance. It was him. He missed a big chance. And
bearing in mind, he was playing injured at that point. He was playing through December.
I know. I'm not mistaking him having a subdued game against us as a reasoning for him not doing anything at your ground, especially after what he did to us last season, man. He's quality. I must admit, he's quality. Like, I've always thought he was a good player, but I wasn't sure on whether his cost would be justified by his output, because he had only had one season where I think he averaged close to one in two scoring rate for Sociedad. But he always had the technical quality. Even when you watched him for Sweden, like, he would do everything but score. And Newcastle, fair play to Newcastle, because it was a big amount of money put on his head, and Newcastle took the risk because they believed in his talent, and the talent has more than seeped through. He's been brilliant, man. I think if Newcastle can keep him fit for more than he has been since he's joined, you're gonna still be a dangerous proposition next season, man. So he's someone who I think we need to be careful about, because he's got the pace to get in behind. He's got the technical quality to run out our players and bamboozle our players. And he's got the finishing quality as well, where he only needs a sniff. So I'm going to need Romero to be on job. I'm going to need Mickey van der Ven to be on job, because we can't let our guard down. If we let our guard down, he's going to punish us. I personally think he's the second best striker in the league after Haaland. I don't 100%. See any other striker in the league who's as good as him personally.
100%. You're not gonna convince me any way different, Tobes. And I think Daz, you're in agreement with that one as well.
Yeah, 100%, Pete. 100%. Actually, I see Jimmy has joined the chat. You missed it, Jimmy. You missed the birthday shout out from earlier, but I got your picture. Jimmy. So happy birthday, buddy. Have a good one. Have a good
top
one.
Man. Love top that man. Picture right there. That's it, Cigari. Cigaring it up. I love it. Love it. Good man. For me, as a former striker, if I'm coming up against a really good centre-back pairing, I'm looking at ones that I can get the better of. And although you mentioned he's probably the better of the two, Tobes, if I'm Isak, I'm coming around this guy. One, because he's not as fast as Van der Ven to keep pace. But, and I think you might agree with this one, if anyone's going to give you something, particularly in the box here, Romero is the one to give you, especially when he's coming up against a tricky player. If we can win a free kick or a penalty due to any sort of rash decisions, that's who I'm going to be playing off. And that for me is what I'd be looking to see Isak doing the game. He likes to pull off this side here because he likes to do his cutting inside. And to score those type of goals into the far corner, but for me that's who I'd be targeting. But I'm interested to see how Bruno and Madison get on in that role together. They're going to be in some battles together. I would say for Tottenham fans, don't sleep on this man. Elliot Anderson, he has been superb since he's come back from injury. And to be fair, had he not got injured earlier on in the season, I think he would have had a much bigger say in this team this season, because his pre-season, he was probably arguably the best player, the best performer in our squad. And he's come back now fully fit, and he looks properly the part. He's a big fit. He's not huge in terms of height, but he's built. And he put a load of muscle on it over the summer. And he's really putting himself about in that midfield. So I actually think, I'm not saying he's going to come in and tear the midfield up, but what he's going to do is not make it easy for, for, for midfielders. That's for sure. So that'll be a
massive last seven games for Anderson to stake his mark into next season as well. So, but while he has this opportunity,
100%. But look, we'll come away from the tactics board there. Be interesting to see how that works out. And definitely looking from a Tottenham perspective as well. Of course, you've got the likes of Son, potentially Werner, Brennan Johnson with that pace down that left hand side. That'd be a good battle actually against Lewis Hall. So yeah, it'll be interesting how that gets on. But Daz, you got a few questions for Toast before we get the prediction and see us out?
I've got a few questions. Yeah. I'll go with my own one first. Arsenal versus Bayern. What do you want to happen there, Tobes? In terms of, do you want Harry Kane to go on and Bayern to hopefully win it out? Or do you want Arsenal to progress further, to open up the fifth spot in the coefficient and make it easier for Spurs? Or are you not worried about that because Spurs are going to get fourth?
No. It's not. I'm not worried. I want Arsenal to get absolutely pummeled by Bayern Munich, right? If Spurs are going to get top four, I want us to get top four because we've earn it. We finished fourth. Like, I'm not going to complain if it went down to the fifth spot and we finished fifth, but I would like and expect that Tottenham can go on and push ahead with top four. Top four was my prediction that I changed to back in December because I believe this team have enough at their disposal to edge Aston Villa and get fourth spot. So I want nothing but bad things to happen to Arsenal. So I'm desperate for Harry Kane to dump them out.
Love it, love it.
And I'm going to answer this one for Matt. And in turn, I assume the same for West Ham. let's go to this one from Lisa. Do you think that you'd be performing better this season if you kept Harry Kane?
Yes, I do. I absolutely do. And a lot of people look at it and say, oh no, because you haven't got Kane, it's been more of a team emphasis. And I agree. I agree that we had to basically build more of a team ethos, but I believe that we've got the right manager that wouldn't be wedded to just one player. I think we've got a manager that's shown when we've had players missing that he's been able to chop and change and mix things up, right? Of course he's got his detractors, of course he's got his deficiencies. Our defense as a unit, our defensive shape off the ball could be better. We've conceded a lot of shots, we've conceded a lot of goals, but I don't think this is a man who would let one player be the single point of failure for our team. I think we've been able to sort of mitigate against many players chopping and changing. So I think he would have been able to instill that team ethos with Harry Kane inside and we'd have a driller up top. Imagine if we had Harry Kane banging in the goals. Yeah. We'd be high on the table, in my opinion.
Good old hair from Jordy Two for Life. He goes a bit personal with this one. He goes, question, Tobes, your twin brother is an Arsenal fan. Is that true? So when you were younger, did you ever come to blows after a Spurs-Arsenal match? Also, do you have any bets between the two of you?
So I'll answer the second question first. So my twin brother, he's a Christian man, so he doesn't bet, he doesn't gamble. But did we come to blows? Yes, we did. As kids, yes, we did. Like, we got into big fights to the point where my parents would threaten to call the police if we didn't stop. So, yeah.
That's the love of the game, though. That's the love of the game.
Tom asked this question. If Ange, is Ange the manager to take Spurs forward? And who would you like to bring in the summer? Or who would you like to leave? So it's kind of an open, a three-parter there.
Is Ange the manager to take Spurs forward? Yes. Who would I like to bring in a summer window and who do I think will leave? So who would I like to bring in? To be honest, I'm not really wedded to names. Like, I'm not really wedded to names at all, man. Just bring me players who are, like, noticeably good. Like, they come into the team and they give the team a crazy lift. And they can be name brand players who I've already known of, like Madison, or they can be players like Vicario. I'm really not becoming that picky guy. Just don't bring me guys like Werner. I don't know which player I want. I just know the standard, but I know which players I don't want. And it's guys like Werner. Just don't keep signing guys like Werner. Who do I think will leave? I think Højbjerg will leave. I think Lo Celso will leave. I think Lo Celso and Højbjerg will leave. Richarlison potentially, depending on the interest in Saudi. I'm trying to see who else. I think that might be it, you know. Actually, no, there'll be a couple more. Brian Hill will leave. Then there's a bunch of players that we've got on loan that will leave. So, yeah.
Josh Toon Army Philly, he asked the question. He's comparing Spurs and Newcastle fans at a similar level of being just below the big boys and global popularity. But he's asked the question, how would you say the UK fan views the international fans? So from Spurs' perspective.
How would I say the UK fans? I think some UK fans are, you know, like in typical fashion, some UK fans are quite snobbish. Like they pretend as if you can't really support a team if you live abroad. I'm not like that. I don't like snobbery in football. I do also believe that there's definitely a certain type of value that there's certain type of value and perspective that a match going fan will have in comparison to a fan who's not watching the games. Like there are certain perspectives that you can give. However, it should be for everyone, man. If there's a Spurs fan in Japan, America, Korea, Australia, like they're still a Spurs fan, right? So yeah, man, they're still a football fan to me. So I don't really see the issue. I don't really distinguish.
Yeah, no, that's fair enough. And of course, both clubs are off to Australia when the season finishes as well for that kickabout in Oz. But I'll end the questions on this one. And first of all, just let it be noted, we all know that Daniel Lawless is a nice guy. But the question is from Lisa. Question for Tobes. On a scale of 1 to 10, how annoying is Lawless?
Oh, he's 20 out of 10. I love him. I love him. Honestly, he's definitely someone I can call like a proper friend when it comes to the football YouTube community. But he is 20 out of 10 in terms of how annoying he is.
That's a good guy. Yeah.
I've never known anyone that could flip a comment and make it sound the worst thing in the world and actually justify it. Like he's the worst.
Nasty.
But no, look, I know you just put in our private chat, you've got to go. But just before you go, look, firstly, absolute pleasure to have you on, mate. Really appreciate it.
Thanks for having me.
Cheers, Tobes.
We'll plug your channel on the way out. But just before you go, prediction, what do you think it's going to be score-wise on Saturday, mate?
I was going to go for a 2-2 draw. I thought it was going to be a 2-2 draw. But you know what, effort. Just because you lot beat us last year, I'm going to go for a win. I'm going to go for a 3-2 win to Tottenham.
Oh,
3-2
there. Another big game. Let's see. But look, we'll let you go and we'll see out the show, mate. Top man, appreciate it.
Cheers,
and,
Jobs.
We'll speak to you soon.
See you later.
Have a good one.
Top man. Great to have him on. Yeah. Like I say, his time is really precious and he's got work bits to do as well. But yeah, it's not easy to get him on, which is obviously why we're doing an early show, but great to have him on to get his opinions. That's for sure.
What about you, Pete? What's your prediction? Jimmy's in the chat. He got his birthday with a message twice in the one show, so Jimmy should be happy now. But what's your prediction for the show, Pete? Or for the game?
You know what? I was actually coming into this game thinking that we could win, and I'm always confident with Newcastle, but I look at their team that they've put out, and it just makes me think that it's going to be a little bit too much. So I might actually steal Tobes is an initial prediction. I think I'm going to go 2-2. I would love us to get 3 points, but I'm going to stick with 2-2 just because. Just looking at that team, I'll whack it back up again just for a second, and I want to get your prediction as well. You look at those two teams there. They're just strong in all positions. Like even Brennan Johnson has moments in games, and you just look at, like, I fear for Tobes' reaction when he saw that Emil Kraft was playing. Yeah.
Like he was lapping that up, wasn't he?
And I was just a bit like, oh, maybe I shouldn't be as confident. But again, we're at home, so maybe I should. I don't know. I keep chopping and changing, guys, but I'm going to stick with the 2-2. Just because I think if you ask me now, would I take a point? I would say yes, because it's not a loss and it keeps us ticking in the right direction to get European football. And if you look at our fixtures, it's one of our toughest games to play before the end of the season. So yeah, that's kind of my thinking in it. But what are you thinking, Daz? What's your prediction?
Yeah, I said last week I would take a draw now. Definitely, I think it's going to be a very difficult game for us. It was the one that stood out to me as being the most difficult on paper left. But I'm going for a one-one draw. But it's in hope more than anything else.
Yeah, definitely. It's one of those games where it's going to be a little bit difficult. So yeah. Well, yeah, Jano, you made a great point. Longstaff,
yeah.
I actually think we said this in the build-up, Daz, to the Fulham game, that Longstaff needs to have a good performance. Like, he needs to put in a good performance. He wasn't great against Fulham. Like, if there was ever a time to put in a performance, it's now. Like, he has to put a performance in now. And boy, do we need it with Willock potentially out. We'll find out tomorrow for maybe the rest of the season. We don't know when Joe Linton's going to be back. We haven't, Miley, we have no idea. We have no more options.
That's it. We'll find out more from the press conference. But I bet you he'll keep Barnes on the bench. But I would just go for it. Might as well. Have Barnes and Gordon and go at them. But he'd probably try and keep it to halftime or 60 minutes and then unleash Barnes, whatever the score is at that stage. Unless we go one or two behind, then we might see him earlier.
Yeah, definitely. But no, interesting one from Ewan at the bottom. Daz, I'll ask you this question. If we win this game, do you think we are set to qualify for the Europa Conference League?
If we win this game, I think we're going to finish sixth. Never mind Conference League.
I think we're going Europa League.
Because the momentum would take us forward then, and we should then start to be getting some players back. But we've been saying this all season. Every time we get players back, we lose some more. But I'm going to keep with it if we win the game. Yeah. So, but that is a massive call. Who's this?
Hold on.
I recognize this guy.
We'll do the proper way. We can't do a prediction without having the main man.
Evening, lads.
Doom.
I just thought I'd parachute in there a bit like Bon Woods, you know, just parachute in there. Except literally, it's the end of the show this time.
Yeah, swooped in for a prediction. Great time, you Keith. Yeah, obviously with the early show. Sorry, didn't see your message until later on, but. Great to have you on. And we were just going on through our predictions. So whilst we're here, we might as well get your prediction. So I've gone 2-2. Daz has gone 1-1. What we thinking for the game?
Bring us down to
this weekend.
And this is the VAR substitution and extra time, isn't it, really? In the 90 minutes for the 10 minutes of VAR time that is in modern football. Yeah, bit worried about this one. Spurs have been in great form, especially away from home. Their away form is slightly better than their home form in that they've only been beaten three times on the road this season. So, attacking-wise as well, the likes of Richarlison and that, they've got some good attackers. Son, for years he's been good. I mean, I would say Son... it's pretty much as a neutral is probably my favourite player of the last 10 years for a neutral, like for a different club. So I'm very worried about this one. Spurs want to get that stronghold on the top four place as well, don't they? Want to get that stranglehold on. Not a great win at the weekend. So I don't think it's going to be a clean sheet. So I'm going to go with, because this could be, out of the remaining games, this could be the only loss Newcastle have, but I'm actually going to go, yeah, 2-2 on this one. I'm going to go Desmond on this one again. Yeah,
because happened to Keith.
2-2 is the new 1-1 for Newcastle this season.
It definitely is for you, Keith. That's for sure. It would have been great if someone had kept tabs on how many times you've gone 2-2. That would have been great to see. But
pretty much since December, January, it's been 2-2s all the way, because Newcastle have, in a lot of games, bar the Fulham game, they have been conceding at least there or thereabouts two goals, haven't they, in many games. So, but, I mean, one thing I would say, if you believe in omens, Newcastle beat Spurs 7-1 back in 96-97. The following season was quite a famous game as well, because it's the one where Ruud Fox and Les Ferdinand, while playing for Spurs, got stuck in the loo at halftime. Well, that game finished 1-0. So you went from 7-1 to 1-0 the following season. Last year was a brilliant result for us, 6-1 against Spurs. Could it just be another 1-0? You don't know. It could be a flat game with Newcastle just grabbing a late goal, and I would take that, to be honest, you know, to keep us in the running.
Yeah. Take it as well, Keith. Yano says, you should change your name to Ronsey. Always on the fence, Keith. The Clannad, you need to take your little boy to Specsavers. I not look nothing like Chris Wood.
Chris Wood.
Chris Wood, I don't know where he gets that. What? Hey, Ollie.
Wow. Nah, great stuff. I've never thought that before until now. Interesting. We'll have to get some pictures side by side in there and figure it out. We're coming towards the end of the show. Thank you, Keith, for coming on and joining this last minute to give your predictions. As always, I'm sure we'll get you back on. I believe it will be Crystal Palace next. I think Crystal Palace after this weekend.
Now there's a thriller of a game in the last 6 or 7 years, hasn't it? We've been involved with some thrillers with Palace, haven't we?
Yeah, we have. And at their place, it's always been interesting. I think it was 0-0 last season, so not always goals, but we'll see. But massive thanks to everyone in the chat. Thank you for all your comments and questions and opinions all the way through. Even the lookalikes, which I'm sure we'll keep an eye on as we move forward. Massive thanks to Tobe. we'll see. If you haven't already, give a subscribe to Tapping Tobes. That's Tobes' his own personal channel. Obviously, watch him on 12 Man as well and Big Six. But we are, we're very close to being out of here. I think if you want to give a...
Yeah, we've just made a shout to the sponsors, yes. Yeah. You were going there. I know you were going there, Pete. I always say it because I forget myself. So I know how easy it is to forget. But I want to give a shout out first to the radiatorshed.com and for all your radiator needs, go contact Russ at the radiatorshed.com. And you already know all the class radiators he has. Go check out the website. Let's bring up the website again now someday and show you guys that again for any of our new viewers. And also shout out to HGO Bathroom Design Co. and all the fabulous bathrooms that are available through the guys and girls there. So go check that out as well. And also a shout out to, you would have seen this scrolling around the bottom for 20% off all the Manscaped range of products. Use the code LOADED20 at manscaped.com, and that will that is active now, and it's been active the last few number of days, so go check that out. We'll run through the spiel again the next day. And if anyone's wondering what Manscaped is all about, you must check out some of I should bring up some of the pictures here as well, but go check it out on the website for the latest and greatest. But yeah, we'll go into more detail. And we'll bring up the website there too, because we have a prize given to give away as well. We'll probably do that at the Spurs Reaction Show, which will be coming on Saturday. So let's take it then. But yeah, that's it for tonight.
Love it.
Bring us massive home, Pete.
Yeah, great show. Great to have everyone on. Great opinions as well from yourself, Daz, from Tobes, and everyone else in the chat. And I'm glad that Ollie is delighted for the shout-out as well. Everybody's happy. All we need to do now is get the 3 points. But, of course, as always, we do love playing away. Daz, we get the signal.
How'd you like that?
Ah, there we go. Take care, everyone. Have a great night. Drink it.